1027 Business.
All right, great stuff. On the line, we have Wayne McCurry to talk to us about what happened in the market today with a view from the market or some market commentary. Not really too sure what to call it. Wayne, good afternoon. Thank you very much for chatting to us today. Man, it's been a tough week. I'm trying to not be too doom and gloom, but wow, our market just keeps getting hammered.
Yes, and it's not just our market, it's every market worldwide. What has transpired, in my view, was that the rally we saw up until literally 2 weeks ago, you know, from the sort of mid-June bottom, was a rally in a vacuum of, you know, news, put it that way. I mean, the market just went up and up and up, you know, took back, didn't get back to previous record highs, but it took back the majority of the fall that we had seen so far this year. And yet, inflation was still high, interest rates were going up, economic growth was slowing down, commodity prices were falling. So everything was in place for, you know, higher interest rates leading to global economic slowdown, and yet the market rallied. So, you know, and we were convinced, and that maybe we were right, that this was a proper bear market rally, that the market was going up, but without any justification. At the moment the Federal Reserve said, you know, inflation is enemy number one, and we will kill inflation at any cost. It doesn't matter the implications for the economy, for the job market. It's all of secondary relevance to killing inflation. The moment they made that message very clear last Thursday, the markets have gone down. I mean, we've gone down, what, 5,000 points, roughly speaking, since then. But the good news is, I don't think there's much more to go. There's a big difference between this period of rising interest rates, irrespective of the fact that inflation's at 40-year highs, that's going to fall very, very quickly. There's no debt bubble that's going to burst. So what would normally happen is that during good years with low inflation and low interest rates, debt is built up somewhere in the system, either consumer debt or housing market debt, or, as we saw in 2008, debt in the financial system and investment gearing debt. And then the higher interest rates burst that bubble, and then that creates a massive economic slowdown and all the problems that we know from 2008, virtual banking system collapse, the banks were bankrupt, etc. We haven't got that debt bubble this time. So the markets don't have to fall 40% like they did on all, in fact, all previous occasions. The big bear markets are around about 40 to 50%. Yeah. I think 25 is about right, which where it was in June, more or less, and I think we're heading back there rapidly.
So, okay, that's a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, but I hear your point. The market was, I guess, looking at, you know, what the Fed was going to do and thinking that they're going to hike really sharply into December and then start tapering off and easing again from next year. And that message from Jerome Powell at Jackson Hole was very, very clear that this is not the case. Inflation will likely, interest rates will likely stay, you know, higher for longer. Maybe not as high as we expect, but for a longer period than we expect.
Look, I don't personally think we're going to see interest rate cuts at the end of next year because inflation is going to fall in a complete leap. I mean, I had a good look today. Fuel price inflation peaked in March. It's down 20%. This is all in rand prices times, now, not dollar prices. Food inflation also peaked May, June. That's down about 15%. Commodity prices, in other words, copper, coal, all of these things, also peaked in mid-March. That's down 20%. You know, an economic slowdown will sort out any wage issues in America. I mean, there's nothing like an economic slowdown for Americans to lay off workers. They're extremely efficient at doing that. So inflation is literally going to fall in a heap sometime in the middle of next year. I don't think right now because you're still measuring off a low base. But the moment that base starts to climb heavily, the year-on-year inflation, certainly for oil and food and commodities, would actually turn negative. So I think we're going to see U.S. inflation the end of next year probably close to 2% and our inflation probably below 4%. And then I think there will be interest rates cuts coming. I mean, the Federal Reserve can't talk about cutting interest rates when they're in the hiking cycle.
Yeah.
So they won't mention interest rate cuts, but inflation is going to fall, and it's going to fall quite substantially, you know, let's say over the next year, towards the end of next year. And then I'll see, then I think we'll see interest rate cuts. And then, of course, the market will return to normality, because the previous 10 years, the market was abnormal. It was just too good. The environment with zero inflation and zero interest rates and a recovering economy, I mean, it doesn't get better for shares than that. Whereas now I think we're turning to normality.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it was, in fact, the longest bull market on history. I mean, do we even count...
It's one of the longest, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the longest, right? But do we even count 2020 with the quote-unquote COVID crash?
You can even take the COVID into account. I mean, the market went down and it came back quickly.
Very quickly, yeah. Much quicker than 90s.
That's the first health correction I know of. All the other corrections I know of, call it economic corrections.
Yeah. And, I mean, not to be, you know, a doomsayer or whatever the case is, but how much of a role do you think that this, what do we call it, student debt forgiveness that's happening in the U.S., how much do you think that's going to fuel inflation if suddenly people have up to $10,000 student debt, they no longer have to pay it back, suddenly that increases their disposable income?
Yeah. In the bigger scheme of it, it's so minute. In the scheme of U.S. markets and the U.S. economy, this is really small numbers. So
right.
I don't think that's got anything that will have any effect. Look, the big inflation that the U.S. is worried about is obviously wage inflation. All the others are, let's call it, input or supply side inflation, and they're all falling already, as I mentioned.
Yeah.
But a slowing economy, there are already people laying off in America.
Yeah.
You know, that wage pressure is going to disappear like the morning mist in a slowing economy.
Yeah. And I mean, the end of next year is still a mighty long way away. So that means for at least the next 12 months, we're in for some tougher times.
Yeah, but the market will anticipate that. The moment it starts to see inflation coming down, inflation shouldn't be a surprise to anyone, because the major inputs of inflation, certainly, I don't know, 40% of the basket, if not more, you can track on a daily basis. You know prices daily.
Yeah.
And certainly the other big inflation input in America was the so-called, what's it, residence or something like that, essentially the cost of rental, which is tied to mortgage bonds. Now, that's going to stay high for a while. But I could promise you, you know, you can't just push that forever in a slowing economy.
Yeah.
So that will also peak and come down. It will peak and come down later than the other ones, that's for sure. But it will also peak and come down. And then inflation will be well under control, I think, in the second half of next year.
Okay. But in the meantime, you know, the dollar index is trading at levels it was last trading at during the dot-com bubble crash, right? So after 2000, we had this massive dot-com, you know, crash correction or whatever you want to call it. The dollar index is trading at the same levels as was then, which by, you know, virtue or by nature puts pressure on every other currency. So we see the rand currently trading at, what, 17.27? So we lost another percent today. How much more pain is there on the cards for the rand, do you think?
Look, I think it is a bit more pain, but it's not going to 19.
Okay.
You know, so this is a pure dollar strength story. It's a pure dollar strength story. Maybe it goes 17.50, maybe 18 at worst, and then only a spike. But it's going to stay around the 17 mark probably for at least another 9 months. Because to get the rand strong again or the dollar weak again, you need economic recovery, falling interest rates, and a restart of commodity prices and the commodity cycle. And that's not going to happen until the later part of next year. So I think we're going to sit with the rand at these sorts of levels for another 9 months to a year. But fair value for the rand is still below 16, and it will go back there.
Yeah.
But it might only go back there in 2024.
Look, and I think a weaker rand makes a lot of people very grumbly, but we have to remember that a large portion of our economy is exporting minerals and raw materials and commodities, and a weaker rand for those companies who pay an enormous amount of tax is...
Yeah, we haven't got inflationary pressures here like America. There's no demand inflation.
Yeah.
I mean, in South Africa, there's no wage there. There are more people than jobs, whereas in America, there are more jobs than people.
Yeah.
So all of our inflation, okay, we have got some domestic inflation, and you just give that the name of Eskom, but Eskom and municipal rates and all of those sort of things. But otherwise, food, oil, all of this is based on the international price, and I think that's coming down. I mean, I think oil's going to go to 70 in the not-too-distant future, let alone 95. But it was 130, so it's already come off quite significantly, and certainly next week we will see a cut in the petrol price. Not a huge cut, I don't think, but when it goes down to 70, we may see a huge cut, cumulative.
Okay. And, I mean, talking about oil, I've been a very bullish oil for some time now, and I have to admit, the last couple of days have caught me by surprise. I mean, we were trading just over $110 a week ago. We're trading at 93 now.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think it's going down. There's nothing for falling commodity prices like a falling economy.
Yeah.
There's. But of course, you know, should it go down to those levels and Sasol and other oil companies fall, then that's the time to actually buy.
Yeah. I think that's a strong message.
The next thing we should do is equity is buy.
Yeah. That's a very strong message to put across. Actually, sorry to interrupt, but when the markets are coming down, that's your chance to just...
That's your time to buy, We're actually sort of heading towards the bottom of the pit again, when every single thing is negative and all you ever hear is bad news and nothing ever positive, and that's the time to buy shares, because that's the only opportunity you get when shares are cheap. Is when you are surrounded by bad news.
I think it was Warren Buffett's birthday this week, and what he said was, I think he turned 92 or something this week, and one of his famous quotes is, when everyone is fearful, be greedy.
Yes, very much so. You know, buy when there's blood on the streets.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to head for that opportunity, specifically in commodity shares. I mean, you saw today, gold is down 10%. I mean, the outlook for platinum and palladium actually looks extremely good in the medium term. And you're going to get a chance to buy these shares properly cheap. I mean, you look at the gold shares, they're also collapsing. Now, I'm not a big gold bull, but the gold shares have fallen quite significantly. And maybe now they're starting to show value. Well, you know, if this market correction carries on, the whole market will show value in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah. Well, that's very encouraging. Thank you very much for a ray of hope on a very dull day. I mean, it's spring day and all, but it certainly, in the markets, was not a very spring-ish kind of air to it.
Cool.
But at least there is some hope down the line. It might be a difficult couple of months coming up, but the opportunity to make good investments at good prices is definitely approaching.
Yes.
All right, Wayne, thank you very much for taking the time to chat with us this evening. It's always a pleasure chatting to you. All right, that was Wayne McCurry, Portfolio Manager at Ashburton Investments, with a view from the markets. And it's time to listen to some Watershed. Enjoy.
Ask 1027 Business.